Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We are going to talk about something that has been a little bit controversial on Instagram and Facebook when I've shared about it. But I say that a little tongue in cheek. I did get some backlash, and I'm going to tell you why. But we're going to talk about grandma hobbies and how I'm leaning into my grandma hobbies era and really how it has surprisingly impacted my life. So first off, the controversy. I use the term grandma hobbies. I did not coin it. There are many different memes and even studies. And I don't know how they did these studies. I don't know if this is just fake research and they're just memes that made up. I don't know. They say like, if you, and I should have had one pulled up here, but it's something along the lines of like, people who do grandma hobbies are more likely to live an extra 10 years or something like that. Anyway.
How long have grandma hobbies been around?
Since there were grandmas.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, for study purposes.
Yes.
I mean, who has defined what a grandma hobby is and actively been tracking that for 20 years?
Well, I just think it's a funny term. It's just a funny, fun term. But there were some people who were bothered by me using that terminology. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't usually talk about my negative comments that I get on Instagram, but there is an interesting thing that I have noticed. And oftentimes when someone will write in and say, Crystal, I'm really disappointed in you saying such XYZ. If I scroll up and look at their other comments and their messages, there tends to be a trend that they will all be in a similar negative vein. And so,
correct.
There were a few people who were bothered by the fact that I used the term grandma hobbies. They felt like that was a derogatory term and that I could just call them hobbies. You know, from my viewpoint, I'm like, I think it's a really positive term because I want to be like my grandmas who they had time for things that were relaxing and they were present and all of that. But, you know, people on the internet,
I think they just don't like to be thought of and called old.
I don't even know that these people were old.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be old to be a grandma.
I mean, so. I could be a grandma right now. I have a 21-year-old daughter. Yes, it sounds crazy. But anyway, so just this idea of kind of those things that are...
Wait just a second.
Yes?
That means I would be a grandpa.
Yeah, usually if I'm a grandma, that means you're a grandma. Yeah, no. Like what? You just thought I was just going to be a grandma and you would not be a grandpa
when
we have a grandchild? Yeah,
right.
No, we both are in this together, okay? Yeah. What are you going to be? Pops?
No.
Papa? Peepaw? Papow?
No, the thought just never crossed my mind.
We got to start working on our grandma and grandpa names. Like this is really important. Like this is something we need to put a lot of thought and effort into. Like what are we going to be called? Because it's coming. It's coming. That was not an announcement, by the way. We have nothing to announce. But just with having Catherine turn 21 and, you know, recognizing like I got married when I was 21 and, you know, she and her boyfriend are definitely talking time frames and that sort of thing of like getting engaged and all of that. And so you just realize, oh, like this is happening, you know. So we got to start working on our grandma and grandpa names.
No,
but
that's okay.
I guess I'm prepping for that by leaning into my grandma hobbies era.
And you're getting a head start.
Really, it's just about what are those things that are creative or that challenge you, but in a way that is really like, what's the word that I'm thinking of? They're not exhausting you. You know, like there are things that challenge you, that exhaust you.
Yes.
And there are things that challenge you, that energize you. That's what I'm looking for. And I feel like that grandma hobbies for me something that energizes me. And it's interesting because I feel like...
Gives you life.
2 years ago, if I would have been heard myself talking about grandma hobbies, I would have been like, who is that person? And what is she doing? And is she having a midlife crisis? Because that sounds so weird. But a lot of these things like puzzles and things, they felt boring to me. But now that I'm working a lot less, we've talked about this on other podcasts, and just really trying to slow down and re-regulate my nervous system, I am finding that in this space, that is something that I am gravitating towards. Like things like doing puzzles, baking, watercoloring, crochet. I just finished a scarf. And I have been so surprised with how much joy they're bringing, but not only that, how much it's re-regulating my nervous system. And that was really the goal for this year with my functional medicine doctor, like learning to be in tune with my body and not always being in fight mode. Because she said, basically, I'm living on adrenaline and always in this mental and emotional stance of being prepared for like, what's the next big challenge? You know, whether that's with work or the kids or another situation. That's not healthy for your body.
Nope.
To always be in that state of just like you're in this fight stance, you know, with your fist
clenched and ready to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like almost like, I almost feel like describing it as thinking of a soldier who has his armor on and has his sword and has the shield, and you're standing there like ready that you are going to get attacked at any moment.
Right. And the thing about it is the fight or flight is supposed to be instantaneous. It's not, your body was not designed to constantly and for a long term be in that mode. It's supposed to be a fight or flight, like you're getting chased by a lion and you're going to live. And
it's survival for a short little season.
Short period of time. It's not for living out of that space.
Yes. And so learning to step back from that and breathe. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very weird at first, but I'm finding that doing things that are calming to me really are helping with that. Like getting in that state where I'm not in that stance of when am I going to be attacked next, or where's this attack coming from and what's it going to be?
Right.
But just like, I'm relaxed and my body did not know how to get there. And so these hobbies are really helping me with that, because it's like you're taking your eyes and thoughts and mental space off of the day to day and putting it on something that is almost, in a sense, mindless work, if that makes sense. I don't know the best way to term it, but like when you're putting a puzzle together, it's not like there's anything, nobody's chasing you. There's no thing that you're rushing towards. Now, I do challenge myself. I do like the competitive puzzling where I'll be like, let's see how many pieces I can get in 10 minutes or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. But that's just fun. Like that's, it's not this challenge that it's causing my heart to race or there's adrenaline required. Same thing with crochet. I might be like, okay, I'm going to do 10 rows, but it's not, oh man, if I don't do these 10 rows, like something bad is going to happen, or, you know, I'm in this rush. It's just like, it's regulating my nervous system to be sitting there and doing the same stitch over and over again, or challenging myself with watercoloring or baking. And just really, instead of, I feel like my time in the kitchen in recent years, a lot of it had been kind of like, I'm on the clock. I need to make a meal. I need to finish this recipe. I need to do whatever. I have 20 minutes. Got to get it done.
I'm sorry. Finish a recipe? Did you ever follow a recipe before?
I did one time the other day and it didn't turn out because I made the garbanzo bean brownies and I was afraid that they were not going to turn out unless I followed the recipe perfectly. And so I did. And then it was a flop. And that just proved that you shouldn't follow recipes. I should have just gone with, you know what? this doesn't look right. I need to add some more things. But no, I was like, I'm going to follow this recipe. I'm going to do this. And I do follow my sourdough recipe. I mean, ish. I don't weigh the starter anymore when I do that. When I feed my starter, I don't weigh it. I just eyeball it. But I do weigh when I'm putting together the ingredients for the dough. I do follow that. Anyway, so I am capable of following a recipe, but it's so much more fun to just wing it and see how you feel. Anyway, so getting into the space where I'm not living like that anymore, it's been really weird. And I was out to coffee with a friend yesterday and I was telling her, I said, I'm struggling with, like, there's this feeling of something's missing, like something's wrong. Like I don't have enough adrenaline in my life. Like I'm coming down from that. And it's this weird feeling of I'll write out my to-do list for the day and there's still extra lines at the bottom.
That you need to fill.
Well, there's just extra lines and it feels really weird. For the longest time, when I would write out my to-do list, it wouldn't fit on the notebook paper. I'd have to like squeeze stuff in, write stuff in the margins or flip to another page. And so to write it out and be like, wow, like, am I lazy? Mm-hmm. Am I not using my time wisely? Is there something wrong? Should I be doing more? I mean, I feel like that was all of January for me. It was really that trying to figure out what does this new normal look like? And there were definitely challenges. There were definitely struggles. And I think one of the biggest things, we're getting a little off on a tangent, but I think it really connects, is because of running a business. And like, I'm the CEO of this company that a lot of people, their paychecks are dependent upon how the company does. And so me cutting back my work hours significantly, there's this fear. And I realized this anxiety of, is this going to work? Like, are we going to make enough money to pay all of our people and pay all of our bills? And I had to really wrestle through that. And I realized how much I thought that it was dependent upon me. I realized how much I thought that the success of the business is all about the hours that I work. And I didn't know that. You know, I would always say like, oh, I'm really relying upon the Lord and trusting God. Sure. But when it came down to it, no, actually, I thought it was about me and my productivity and what I did and how hard I worked. And that was kind of this really yucky thing to sit with and recognize. But then also, as the month went on, we started out and the month was really slow and stuff was slow to come in. And there was this part of me that, as I'm having this space and these white lines in my, you know, to-do list, I'm thinking, I just need to do more. Yep. Like, I need to launch something. I need to get on video more. I need to push more stuff. I need to do more because, look, our income is down and I'm also working a lot less. And so I had to really, it was a wrestle of my heart and this tug of war in my heart. Like, no, I know this is the right thing and I know this is the right space for me, but also I'm scared.
Right.
And I'm anxious about this. And it was just a really good opportunity for me to, you know, do I actually believe what I say that I do and that I trust God to provide, and that it's not all up to me, and that I can have rest as a spiritual discipline and trust that God's going to bless my work hours. And it was just really good. And the interesting thing was, as the month wore on, and I kept kind of telling you, like, the first 2 weeks of the month, I was like kind of panicking.
Well, because that's your default position. So doing the hard work and confronting that default position of needing to do more, which you've been that way for decades.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard fight, but it's well worth it.
And it was just so interesting because then as the month went on and I was like, no, I'm not going to work more hours. No, I'm not going to give into this panic that's going to spiral me into feeling like I need to hustle and be in that fight mode. Like, I'm going to continue on this path, even though it scares me. And I was like, you know what? Worst case scenario, like we do have an emergency fund in the bank for the business that we could tap into.
Right.
I never want to, but we could tap into it if we need to.
That's
and so
there.
Let's let the month play out. And I'm going to trust God and just really praying through and working through and thinking through and being honest with myself of all these feelings. And by the end of the month, it was crazy because the numbers went up, been up, been up. And up in like the last few days of the month, all of a sudden, like multiple checks and payments came in that I wasn't even expecting. And we ended the month, like I had set a goal that would be like, this is the big goal for the month. We hit that. And then I was like, well, this is the stretch goal. And we hit that and we exceeded that. And it was like God saying to me, see, I actually don't need you to be hustling like a crazy person. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to be wearing yourself out and exhausting yourself and feeling like it's all up to you, because I can take your 40 hours of work a week and the rest of what your team does, and I can multiply it to be more than enough.
Right.
And it was just a really powerful reminder to me.
Amoir makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Amoir, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved Amoir, and I have to tell you, one of the favorite things of Amoir for me has been that it can help you to define your personal style. I'm not someone who automatically just knows, oh, this and this and this goes together and will look great on my body type. I love how they pick items for you based upon your style, based upon your size. And then you get to look on there and be like, which one of these do I think I'd like to try out? You're not buying it, you're trying it. And so I've tried out a lot of different styles that I usually wouldn't because I'm just renting it. And here is the interesting thing. I have discovered some styles that I never would have that I've fallen in love with. In fact, I have a pair of overalls and a pair of jeans that I have gotten from Amoir that became part of my wardrobe that I kept because I loved them so, so much. And to this day, I wear that pair of jeans multiple times a week, and I wear that pair of overalls. If you follow me on Instagram, you know the pair of overalls I'm talking about, but probably once or twice every single week. And so this helps you to be able to try some new things without spending the money on them that you typically would, because they're such high quality products. And if you don't like it, if it doesn't work for your body type, if it doesn't work for your style, you can send it right back. Right now, my listeners can give Amoir a try and get up to 60% off their first month. That's up to $150 off. Just visit amoir.style/crystal. That is amoir.style, amoir.style/crystal to get up to 60% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Amoir today.
In our discipleship program at our church, we are talking about idols. And in January, like the beginning of January, was about idols. And I realized, oh, like I did not know that I had this idol in my life that was this control idol. Like I know that I've had this approval idol for a long time that I've really worked through, battled through. It still rears its ugly head sometimes, but like the idol of control that I felt like I was controlling my life in the business by working 65, 70 hours a week. And that's what I did because I just felt like I needed to. And to let that go, it was a really hard but powerful experience. And so moving into February, it's like, okay, how can I take what I learned in January and really continue to apply it? And I think I moved into February just feeling a lot more calm. Like, I can trust God and I can work less and I can continue to enjoy my grandma hobbies and like that God is going to provide. And so I want to be really faithful with the hours that I've committed to work, and then I want to be faithful with the hours that I've committed to not work. And the interesting thing that I'm discovering is that by working so much less, even though it feels so weird and my to-do list feels empty, I am discovering that I'm showing up so much more to my life. So not only to the work that I do, and I'm having so much more creativity and so much more fulfillment and so much more joy in what I'm doing, I think I'm doing a much better job of it, but also showing up in relationships and showing up for my kids and hopefully Jesse showing up in our marriage. And it's just so interesting to me because I feel like my life feels so much richer and so much calmer. Like I'm going into my days and it's not just this thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. Like yesterday I had some back-to-back stuff, which I actually hadn't had all month. I had an in-person interview for the podcast, and then I had an Instagram live that I did interviewing someone else. And then right after that, I had a meeting with someone on my team. And then right after that, I was meeting my friend for coffee. And I felt that kind of rush in my heart of like, it's like this, that anxious, frantic, like there's so much going on. My brain is a little chaotic. And I'm like, I haven't felt that. Like I haven't felt that since the beginning of the year. And I was like, and I'm not going to do that again. I don't like that. You know, maybe every once in a while, it's just how it lines up and you know, you have, that's where you have that. Okay. You can go into the fight mode for 4 hours. And then now I want to come back from that. I don't want to live in that state anymore. And so I'm just sharing all this because I hope that this encourages you in some way. I'm sure it plays out differently in your life, but maybe you also are living in that space of fight mode or running on adrenaline or not having white space in your calendar. And it's interesting because these are things that I've preached for a long time and I thought I was doing them. And I think it was because I was my life was so full that I didn't have space to step back and recognize how much I actually wasn't, like how much I was addicted to the work and the busyness and how much it was a coping mechanism and how much adrenaline was just how I ran.
It seems that as you have reduced the quantity of your hours, that you have increased the quality of your hours.
Yes, 100%. I feel like I'm not exhausted when I go to bed at night. Like I have to tell myself, you know, and like last night, remember I came out like at 7:50 and I was like, or something, 8:20. I don't know what time it was, but it was early.
Early.
And I was like, I got to go to bed. Like I'm just exhausted. And it was because of me having so many back-to-back things and it just exhausted me. Whereas usually in the evenings, I feel like I'm going to bed and it's not that how it had been for years and years, where it's like before my head even hits the pillow, like I'm asleep. It's like I'm actually kind of winding down and then falling asleep. Like it's supposed to be much healthier for you if
you
were
also working up until that time period that you actually went to sleep because you were burning the candles at both ends.
Yes, absolutely. And so to not, like now, usually I have some buffer time in the evenings, and a lot of times it's like I'm crocheting and watching Wind Calls the Heart, or like I'm doing something that there's, you know, just one of my grandma hobbies, watercolor, whatever. And it's like helping me just slowly get ready for bed. And I am just finding that it's been so good for my soul, and that I'm actually really feeling and seeing and hearing what's going on around me in a whole new way. And it's like my heart doesn't feel like it's constantly just pounding when I didn't even realize that's how I was living. Like, I think you live in a space for so long that you don't even recognize it until you get out of it. And then you're just like, oh, it's like I could never just catch my breath or breathe deeply because there was always just something on my shoulders, something that needed to be done, some deadline needed to get out the door, you know, just something. And to just be like, and even like I was sitting getting my hair done recently and my phone died, and just to sit there. I didn't have a book. I didn't have my computer. I didn't have anything. And I just sat there and I was like looking around and like noticing things in the room. And I was like,
right. You never do that.
I walked past all of these things. I've been here multiple times and
it is quite common.
I think we talked about this. Some,
yes.
Didn't we talk about the house?
Yes.
The house,
the farm.
Yes. Those were on earlier episodes. But
it is, I mean, stopping and smelling the roses. That's why they say that. And it's so, especially with the frantic pace that we live at and the distractions that we have in our hands every single day, it's hard to do. I mean, I went through the same thing this morning. I forgot my phone and taking the kids and dropping them off at school. And I was like, oh, but it was, and so the kids wanted to listen to something. So we turned on the AM band radio. And
it's been a long time since you turned that on.
So,
yeah,
just to stop and be still.
And so I don't know what that looks like for you listening, but I just really challenge you. Like, do you have those white spaces in your day where you're doing something that's just really calming your nervous system? What would that look like? How can you include more of that in your life? Is that sitting? Is it walking? Is it, you know, standing out in the sun, walking in the grass? Is it crochet? Is it grandma hobbies? You know, one thing I'm considering doing is starting to garden. Like, I have not gardened since I was a teenager. We used to have a huge garden and I spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours gardening. And I think I really burned myself out on gardening because we did so much. But I'm excited to try that again. And
not on that scale,
not on that scale. No, a small container garden, but like starting somewhere and doing something that there's like the value in it is just slowing you down and right. just appreciating beauty and nature and growth. And, you know, it's like crocheting that scarf. And just like seeing it come to life. You know, I feel like that's the thing. It's like watercoloring. It's like seeing these paints and this paper turn into a picture. And even if it's like a picture that you're sort of like, didn't quite look like it was supposed to look, but it's still like using your hands creatively. And I think there's just a lot of value in those. I think they call it like analog skills or something. And so I just want to encourage you. Like, what does this look like for you? And also, do you have some other suggestions of grandma hobbies? And this really plays into, we did a podcast on my fun list. And I was thinking how like so much of the things on my fun list for this year are what we could term grandma hobbies. And just leaning into that, there's just been so much joy and so much just more calmness in my life. And I was telling someone the other day, I read this quote, and I can't quote it perfectly, but it was the gist of this years ago that was talking about, like, we know that our life is too full when we're annoyed by people. Like, when people and interruptions from people are annoying. And that just really stuck with me. And I think the last number of years, I feel like so many times people have felt like an interruption instead of an opportunity. And, you know, it's like a child needs you, or there's that phone call, or there's that email, or someone, you know, needs something. And it's like, it's felt like an interruption, a burden, whatever. And I don't want that. Like, I want it to feel like an opportunity. And I feel like more and more with the space in my life, that's how it's feeling. And I have space to show up for people from a calm state, instead of just barely making it, so much adrenaline and feeling inwardly maybe annoyed or frustrated or like exhausted. I don't have the time and energy for this interruption. Instead of, I see you and I'm excited to pour into you. This is an opportunity to love you well. As always, we love hearing from you. If you have thoughts, if you have feedback, if you have grandma hobby suggestions, send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Have a great week, and we will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, we have a really fantastic interview that I did with a brain surgeon that you are not going to want to miss. I've been so excited to get to share this, and I was waiting until his book was coming out. And then the following week after that, the plan is that I will be sharing about my colonoscopy that is happening next week. So stay tuned for that, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.